Genesis chapter 24 this morning. I want you, if you would, if you can stand it, not be a hindrance to you, would you stand please with me? We're going to read just a few verses of Scripture, have a word of prayer, and I want you to pray this morning. I believe God's presence is already here. If you believe that, say amen. I believe God. Listen, folk, when we come to the house of God, we ought to come expecting God to do something. The reason in most of our churches, God never does anything because we don't expect Him to. But I believe this, if we're obedient and we do what God wants us to do, if we get in the will of God, and if we pray and seek His face and drive the devil away, thank God we can have the victory all in the Lord Jesus. So I want you to pray as we do in just a minute. But notice, if you would, chapter number 24 of the book of Genesis, this being the week of Valentine's Day, and hearts are centered upon love, and everywhere you turn, there's cards and candy and flowers, and I thought it'd be appropriate to speak to you this morning on the subject, behold, the camels are coming. Look in chapter number 24, verse 61, and Rebekah rose, her and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the well of, by the way of the well Lorelai, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and she loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His word. Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I would ask you this morning, search your heart as the message of God is preached, that you might find the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today. Father, thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the trio and for the testimony, Brother Terry. And I thank you, God, for the little children as they sang today. Lord, I pray now that the Spirit of Almighty God would come rest upon this place. Lord, we pray that a breath from heaven might blow through, and Father, that you touch every heart. Oh God, save that one lost without Jesus. Lord, for that one today that's walked away from God, may they realize that the love of God far supersedes the depths of sin. And I pray, God, you draw them with that unseen hand back into the fold. I pray for this preacher today, Lord. You know there's nothing good within me. Lord, there's nothing that I could say that could change the hearts of people, but you can. And I pray that you'd speak to every heart. May the will of God be done here today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open into the book of Genesis. Chapter 24. Now notice, if you would please, the Old Testament is filled, beloved, with all many types and symbols you find here in the book of Genesis. You find that there are many types and symbols in the Word of God. For instance, as you read the Old Testament, you'll find that in the book of Exodus, we see that Egypt is a type of the world, and Pharaoh is a type of the devil. He holds God's people in bondage, not willing to let them go, but it took the precious blood of an innocent lamb that night as they put it on the sides of the door and over top of the door that delivered those people from the bondage of sin. Beloved, the same is true in your life and mine. It takes the precious blood of an innocent lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross that could atone for our sins. Nothing good in my hand I bring, only to the cross of Christ I cling. And as we read the Word of God, we find there's some beautiful stories that are nestled here in the pages of Scripture. One of my favorite types that I find of the Lord Jesus is that of Isaac. We find Isaac in chapter number 22 as the submissive son. That day that Abraham said unto Isaac, "Son, we're going to gather the wood and we're going to gather the fire and we're going to take a journey to the top of Mount Moriah." And there is a journey to the top of the mountain. Isaac looked over at his dad and said, "Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire and we've got the knife, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham looked at his son and said, "Oh," he said, "that God would provide himself a lamb." Aren't you glad today for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? I'm glad, beloved, that day that John the Baptist looked out and saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Beloved, it's not by water baptism, it's not by church membership, it's not by some doctrinal creed, it's not by some recitation, but it's through the spotless, sinless blood of Jesus that we can be saved and know that our names inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we have been passed from death unto life. But then I read in the Bible, in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis, I find that Isaac, here, beloved, is a picture of the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom. You know something, as it was said this morning, I believe this, my friend, that things are heating up in the Middle East. I believe that Jesus is soon to return. Y'all believe that? Say amen. I mean, listen, friend, one of these days, I don't believe it be long before the nations of the world will converge upon that little nation of Israel. Oh, the armies of the east and the armies of the west and Russia to the north and Egypt to the south will come and march toward Jerusalem. But thank God, I'm glad, as we sung, I'm on the winning side. And thank God, the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, he's coming back one of these days. He's coming back for his church, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah! He's coming once again. And here in chapter 24, there are four things I see, and I'll share them with you if I can this morning, about Isaac. And notice how he is the bridegroom and Rebekah is the bride. Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Rebekah is a picture of the church. But notice, if you would, these four things. Number one, I find in chapter 24, there's a seeking servant. If you'll go back, and I don't, for the sake of time, have the time to read it to you, but in the first few verses of chapter 24, Abraham comes to his servant Eliezer, and he says, "Eliezer," he said, "it's time to find a bride for my son." He said, "I don't want him to marry one of these women around here. I don't want him to take a wife of the Canaanites. I don't want him to take a wife that's around here. But I want you to go back into my home country. I want you to go back into my homeland and find a bride for my son." I see in chapter 24, verse 2 and verse 4, he is sent by the father. Oh, the servant was commanded to seek a bride out, and for the son, he was commanded to go and invite a woman to come be a wife unto his son. He was to present the message, but he was not to force her. He was not to coerce her. He was not to drag her. He was not to do anything that would try to manipulate her to be his master's son's bride. My friend, there's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad for the day that the Holy Ghost of God came by and he knocked on your heart's door and he pierced your soul heart of flesh and he said, "Oh, listen to what that preacher is saying. Listen to what that tract says. Listen to what that man said to you." And the Holy Ghost of God gripped your heart and convicted your soul. And the day that you bowed on your knees and you said, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched sinner. I deserve hell. But thank God for the grace and the love. And thank God for the blood that was shed. And thank God for the Spirit of God that worked in my heart." I'm glad. Oh, I'm glad. How many of y'all remember the day, say amen, that the Spirit of God convicted your heart and saved your soul? Say amen. Amen. If you can't remember that, you're in need of a Savior. Oh, preacher, say, I've been around now. I'll be preaching. I'll be called to preach. Listen, next month, no, April. I'm skipping a month. In April, I'll be preaching 40 years. Been trying to. Hadn't learned how to do it yet, but I'm trying. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad for the day Joanne, as an 11-year-old boy, I'm glad that I used to sit in the back of the auditorium on the back pew where Brother Larry's sitting back yonder. I'd sit with my mother and my daddy. Did y'all hear me while I said? Amen. My mother and my dad brought me to church. Amen. I'm glad to have an old-fashioned mom and an old-fashioned dad that brought me. He didn't just send me. He took me to the house of God. I sat back there, and Brother Harold Carey would stand in the pulpit of New Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he'd preach his heart out, and the Holy Ghost of God began to deal with this little boy's heart. He began to squeeze that little boy's heart, and my hands would perspire, and they'd sweat, and all of a sudden I wanted to get out of that church house. Any of y'all ever been there? Boy, I could only thing I could think about, I'll be glad when he says that amen. I'll be glad when they sing that last stanza of that invitation song. I'll be glad I'm getting in that car and we'll head home again. Oh, but one night I couldn't run so far. I got in the car and I got home. I walked in the house at 4905 Lakemont Drive. I walked over to that old black and white television. I turned her on and it came on some program, Annie Get Your Gun. I don't ever remember anything about the program, but that night my mama came in and my sister came in. They went down to the bedroom. My daddy sat in his recliner. I sat down in the chair. I turned the TV on. I didn't want to hear no more. But my dad looked at me and he said, "Son, wouldn't you like to be saved?" I said, "Yes, I would." Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God convicted me, went with me, and still convicted me. The Bible said, without the Holy Spirit of God, no man can be saved. No man, no woman. You examine yourself this morning, friend. You're not out and you're not here by an accident. You're here by the divine appointment with God. Y'all believe that? Say amen. You might say, "Preacher, he pulled out of the parking lot and have a wreck." You might have a wreck, but that's not an accident. You say, "Why?" Because I believe there's a sovereign God in heaven that knows everything about. He knew that Brother Terry back here would have cancer. He knew he'd have to go through some ordeals. But thank God he knew also on the other end. He knew that what he's going to do. Say amen. I'm glad to tell you that God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. And hallelujah to God. He searches the heart and tries the rein. If you're here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, regardless of who you are, get on that altar and get saved. Maybe the last time you'll ever have. I've preached to people before in over 40 years. I preached to them before, and it'd be the last time that they'd ever hear a preacher preach. I preached to folks before, and they'd walk out that door, and tears be running down their face. And they'd speak to me, and they said, "Preacher, that message spoke to my heart. I preached to those before, and before the week was up, they were dead." My friend, it's an awful and terrible thing to sit in the house of God and hear the message of God preached and reject the message of God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what kind of credentials you've got. Doesn't matter what family you come from. What you need most of all is the saving grace of God. And admit you're a sinner. Admit you're lost on your way to hell. And the God of all grace and all mercy, He'll reach down. He'll pick you up. He'll meet the need in your life. Number two. Oh, I see there's a seeking servant. But I see also there's a surrendered bride. I see here there's a girl the Bible mentions by the name of Rebecca. By the way, just for the record, notice something here. You have to figure this up. But Isaac is 40 years of age and he's still not married. You know what, Brother Brawley? Sometimes folk get in an awful rush, don't they?
Oh, listen, young folk, let me tell you something. I know some of y'all may go out here today, and y'all might say, the preacher, he stepped on my toes. If I step on your toes, I missed. Amen. I'm aiming for the heart. My friend, listen, it's not important how old you are. Yeah, what is important is finding the one that's meant for you. Amen. The most important thing in your life is finding the will of God and walking in the will of God. Isaac was 40 years of age. Notice something. There is a surrendered bride. I don't have time to preach it all to you, but notice in verse number 3, Eliezer, the Bible said, he came down. He didn't want to take a woman of the Canaanites. Abraham didn't want his son marrying the ungodly people around him. And friend, I got news for you. You say, preacher, where's the best place to find a wife or find a husband? The best place is in the house of God. Can I have a good amen? I got news for you. The devil in this world, my friend, he'll take you, he'll abuse you, he'll mistreat you, and he'll leave you for dead. But I'm glad to tell you there's one in heaven that loves you. No matter how down in the depths of sin you've been, no matter what you've done, there's a God in heaven that loves you this morning. Amen. But here I find that she was peculiar. In verse number 3, I don't mean she wore one red sock and one green sock. I don't mean she looked peculiar or some oddity. My friend, she was peculiar because she was a woman that was not among the ungodly. The Bible says in First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness in this marvelous light. I got news for you. I'm glad, Miss Joanne, that God's people ought to be some peculiar folks. Amen. I'm glad to tell you, Jonathan, that God's people ought to be some peculiar people. Brother Frank, I want to tell you something. Is it God's people? When the world sees us, there'll be some difference in us. Amen. Amen. Friend, if you hobnob with the world and you go the places of the world and you indulge in the things of the world, and then this crowd out here, they look at you and they say, well, that's a Christian, then the whole world's full of them. We ought to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen, amen, preacher. Amen. My friend, listen. As a child of God, our desires ought to be different. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Nobody had to drag me to church this morning. Nobody had to coax me to church this morning. Nobody had to coerce me to church. I was glad to come to the house of God. Amen. Well, all right. Number 2. All right. She's peculiar. Number 2, look at verse 16. Follow me along. Y'all with me? Say amen. Verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Well, let me stop there. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Hey, Bible said that this girl was a girl. Not only she was peculiar, but she was pure. Brother Gray Savage was here last week. How many of you got this little brochure he left? Anybody? Shocking statistics. Hey, you see these little kids up here this morning? Mamas and daddies? Oh, listen, mamas and daddies, you best be the right kind of mom and daddy for them. Grandpa and grandma, you best be the right kind of grandparents for them. You know what? This is what it said. I'm not going to read everything to you. In a random survey of 1,200 adolescents and young adults aged 13 to 24 throughout the United States, the Kaiser Family Foundation found that 81% reported that they had had sex, and 50% agreed that people their age had had alcohol and drugs. Every day in America, 2,861 teenagers will drop out of school. Every day in America, 629 teenagers are placed in adult jail for some reason. Every day in America, 7,742 teenagers become sexually active.
Every day in America, 8,219 teenagers acquire a sexually transmitted disease. Every day in America, my friend, these things are happening. 1,439 teenagers will attempt suicide. 6 teenagers will commit suicide. 3,506 teenagers will run away from home. 2,989 children will witness the divorce of their parents. Friend, what am I saying? I'm saying this, is that parents today, as mamas and daddies, we need to have some old-fashioned godly standards and pray for our young folk and pray for our children and pray for our teenagers. Why? Because the devil is after them. Here this girl was. She was pure. She was peculiar. Listen, let me say real quickly, where did this servant meet her at? Look in verse 20. Our time's going by awful fast. Look in verse 20. The Bible said when he came to the well to draw water. When he came to the well to draw water, the well represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The water represents salvation. Eliezer met her at the well. And when Eliezer, as a picture of the Holy Ghost of God, when he met the soon-to-be bride at the well of salvation, guess what? He stuck by her side every step of the way until she got back to the Master's house. I got news for you. The day I got saved, thank God the Holy Ghost of God came in, and he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me on the good times and the bad times. When times are great, when times are bad, the Holy Ghost of God will never forsake me. He's with me all the way. Amen. Notice, not only here she was peculiar, she was pure, but she was willing to sacrifice everything to be the bride of this man. Look in verse 55, 56. The Bible said there, Eliezer looked at her, and I don't have time to go on. Listen, there's so much good stuff here. He gave her a silver ring, picture of redemption. He gave her raiment. We're clothed in the garments of Jesus. My friend, listen, I'm glad to tell you, is that the Holy Ghost of God, he'll give you everything you need. Amen. He'll be with you every step of the way. He'll guide you and direct you. He'll take you all the way to the Master's, to the Father's house. The Holy Ghost of God will never leave me nor forsake me. Look in verse 55, 56. The Bible said there she was willing to give up everything to go to be the bride of this man she'd never seen. And they sit and talk to her. And they said to her, what do you want to do? What would you be willing to do? And they called verse 57. We'll call the damsel and inquire at her. And verse 58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She left everything behind. She left her family behind to go to the Master's house to be the bride of a man she had never seen. She went to the Master's house to be the bride of a man she didn't even know she could love. But thank God, she said, it's not worth it. I'm going to leave it all behind. And honey, I got news for you. When the day you got saved, I hear a lot of people say, well, I had to give this up and give that up. You didn't have to give up anything except going to hell. I'm glad there's something better on the other side. I'm glad, friend, you hadn't give up anything. If anything, I'm a rich poor man. I don't have much money down here. If you were to look at my bank account, you'd see that. Listen, my friend, I don't have much down here at all. But one thing I do have, I've got a home in heaven. I've got wealth beyond measure on the other side. I've got friends and family on the other side. But if you're not saved, you'll never see that. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, when you breathe your last breath and this heart stops, there's no coming back. There's no second chance. There's no way that you can cry out and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's over. It's over. It's over. Are you willing to take that chance? Are you willing to take that chance? Second church I ever pastored, I'd only been there for just a few weeks. And I said, we're going to have a revival meeting. And I said, but I'm going to be the preacher. I'm going to preach at my own revival meeting. We start on Sunday night. I had 7 deacons.
Sunday night, one of the deacon's daughters came to me at the end of church. She said, "Preacher, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, you can." We went back in the office. We sat down. Joanne, she looked at me. This was a deacon's daughter now. And she said, "Brother Frank, I've never been saved. I thought I was, but I've never been saved." I knelt in my office with her. I prayed with her. She prayed the sinner's prayer. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, we don't know where this week's going to go to." Monday night came. I got back and I preached the second message. The second night, if my memory serves me correctly, we gave invitation. We had a piano like this. We had an organ over there. The organist, all of a sudden, the organ music stopped. I looked over and the organist slid off the bench. And she came, she knelt down here at the front. We kept giving invitation as the week progressed. Another deacon's wife came, got saved. Sunday school superintendent got up. He come, got saved. Before the week was out, 17 church members. You say, "Preacher, do you think they were lost and got saved?" I don't know. That's between them and God. But one thing is for sure. When they got up off that altar, they knew they were saved. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? "Devil, you have no place here. Flee from this presence." There may be a lost church member sitting here this morning. You've heard this old boy preach. And if you were to walk out them doors and you were to die, oh, you'd wind up in a devil's hell, my friend. Listen, it's not worth it. My friend, it's not worth it. Go ahead and swallow your pride and come and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." Amen. God bless your heart. Miss Tabor, I call Mama back yonder. Can you raise your hand up? About a year or so ago, I went by her house. Tina said, "Mama wants to see you." I went by her house. And I'm not telling you anything she hadn't already told you. I went by her house and I left my Bible out in the car. But we got to talking and she said, "I don't really know if I'm saved." I went and knelt beside her chair at 90 years of age. She prayed the sinner's prayer. The next Sunday morning, she stood up in church. She said, "I want to let everybody know I got saved." Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, my friend. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, my friend, there may be some lost sinner sitting here this morning. You may be a good person. You may be a church member. You may be a respectable person in the community. But if you die without Jesus, you're going to the devil's hell. Don't risk your life. Get saved. Number three, I see... there's a seeking servant. There's a surrendered bride. Number three. Notice I want to see. I don't even have time to preach on the camel, so I'm going to skip on over to the last thing. And that's this. I see the son. Notice, if you would, in verse 65, and I'm about done. I see there is a seeking servant, the Holy Spirit. I see a surrendered bride, the type of the church. And then third of all, I see the son, Isaac, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 65. Verse 65, I believe, in evening time, Isaac walked out into the fields, and in the distance he could see a caravan coming. He could see these 10 camels were coming, and on the top of one of them, he couldn't make it out, but he could see a figure riding on top of the camel. You see, by the way, Rebecca got to ride. She didn't have to walk. Amen. Listen, she got to ride on the camel, which is a bearer of burdens. She didn't have to worry. Once she said yes to Eliezer, he put her on top of that camel and she started back and rode the camel all the way to the master's house. I tell you something, it is by grace that we're saved. Grace has saved me, and grace will keep me saved, and grace will take me from here to glory. I don't have to worry about the journey. God gives grace. Whenever I go through, I hope I don't have to go through cancer. Brother Terry, like some of you have, I hope I don't have to. But if I have to, I know God's grace is sufficient. I've had to stand in a funeral home and greet family members as they come by. The first time when my dad died, God gave grace. The second time when my mom died, the year I came here to be your preacher, My mama died in June, and I came here in August. I stood in a funeral home as folks would come. And then about a year ago, well, my sister died. And grace has brought me safe this far. And grace is going to take me home. The third thing I see, this son, verse 65, he was looking. He was waiting for his bride. He could see her coming. He didn't know what she looked like. There was no pictures, and she didn't know what he looked at. I performed a lot of weddings in my day. I don't know how many. But you know, Brother Frank, when you stand up and they say, you know, will you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do you part. Most of the time people think they're getting the better, but sometimes they get the worse. Sometimes they think they're getting the richer part and they get the poorer part. Sometimes, Brother Brawley, they think they're getting the health part and sometimes they get the sickness part. But that man didn't know what she looked like. Eliezer couldn't pull out a picture and say, hey, this is what my master looks like. What do you think of him? He looks just like Frank Thacker, doesn't he? He's good looking, isn't he? And there was no pictures, though. There was nothing. There was nothing, but she said, I'll go be the bride of this man I've never seen. And Fred, I've never seen Jesus. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what. My friend, listen, there's no picture that can describe him. I've read the pages of Scripture. I've read Isaiah. I've read the New Testament. I know what the Bible describes him, but I, in these eyes, have never seen him. But I know one day I will. And by faith, oh, listen, one of these days, when this old veil of sorrows, this old veil of flesh drops, I'll see him for the very first time. The Bible says, in whom we love, having not yet seen. But look at verse 67. Here's what I like. The Bible said, and he loved her. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. By the way, Sarah is dead now, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Revelation 19 says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The next thing that's going to happen on God's time calendar is this. It's what we call the rapture of the church. Many books have been written about it. Sister Tina back here has read every. She told me the other night, she said, I'm starting back through the Left Behind series for the second, third time. We've got those books here in the library if you'd like to read them sometime. The next thing that's going to happen on God's time calendar is this. One of these days, I don't believe it's going to be long, the Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven. He's going to give a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, is going to sound. But only those that are saved will hear that. Imagine with me. Tomorrow morning you get up and you start your day activity. You turn the television set on. And all of a sudden there's a newscast that come on. Trains derailing across the nation. Airplanes falling out of the sky. Millions are missing. Mother goes into the baby's crib and the baby is gone. Walk into a funeral home and bodies are missing. And all of a sudden, the newscasters and CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of the crowd, they say there's some phenomenon going on. We don't know what's happening. Maybe aliens have come and abducted people. Maybe they're all hiding somewhere. We don't know what's going on. But they're just wait, because there's coming a world leader that's going to step on. He's going to solve everything. He's going to speak peace, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Y'all will just hang on. The best days are yet to come. You know what's happened? The raptures take place. If it happens before next Sunday and some of y'all are here, y'all best find you another preacher. I won't be here. Amen. Because here's the thing. When the trump of God sounds, it's going to resurrect those that's buried out yonder in the cemetery. Thank God they'll come up out of the grave. And those that are living will be changed. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll sail through singing, so long, sweet hour of prayer. We're headed to a better place.
Only if you knew Him. Only if you knew Him.
For in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy names? Listen what that. Listen what the book says. Right, my time's gone, but here it is. Matthew. In that day many will say to me, have I not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we cast out devils in thy name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? And he will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I didn't know you and lose you. I didn't know you and forget about you. I never knew you. Think about that. Have we not prophesied in thy name? There'll be preachers that'll be left behind. Haven't we cast out devils in thy name? Done many wonderful works in thy name? He'll say to them, I never knew you. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. Seeking servant. He's knocking on hearts today. Surrendered bride. By the way, when the last soul is saved, I believe this, when the last one is made up of the bride of Christ, he's going to come back. Amen. And then there's the Son that loved us and gave himself for us. What a beautiful love story. More beautiful than any other novel you could read. More beautiful than any other Harlequin love story. Any more beautiful than any other magazine. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that you would not perish but have everlasting life. Bow our heads, please. Head bowed. Miss Joanne, come to the piano. Play for me. There's room at the cross. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. I'm not somebody you have to confess anything to. I'm just a man. I'm an old sinner saved by the grace of God. Can you look in your heart today and can you say, I know. There's been a time in my life that I trusted Jesus Christ. Now wait a minute. Before you answer that too quick. Before you answer that too quickly. What are you holding on to? Are you holding on to the fact that you prayed some kind of prayer? You took a preacher by the hand? Did you know what you were doing? Did you go forward because somebody else wanted you to go forward? Did you do that because you thought it'd be something that would be good to do? Unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my friend, then you are not saved. Right now, if the Holy Ghost of God is knocking on your heart and he is pleading with you, if you're sitting there like your heart's about to bust out of your chest and you're saying, oh, hurry up, I got to get out of here, hurry up, I want to leave, I want to get away. You see, that was me 45 years ago. I'm glad that God gave me an opportunity to be saved. I'm giving you that this morning. Can you say in your heart, preacher, I know I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I bear fruit that shows that I'm a Christian. I love the things of God. I love the places of the Lord. I love the Bible. I love to be in church. I'd rather be here than any other place I know. I love the Lord. Preacher, I know I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand, please? You know that? Lift your hand up. You know you have a personal relationship with Christ. That's what I'm asking. Thank you. May you take your hands down. Not everybody can raise a hand. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the next important question you'll ever be asking your entire life, and that is, would you
Would you like to go to heaven when you die? If you didn't raise a hand a minute ago, but right now you say, "Preacher, I would like to go to heaven." I don't know anybody that would raise a hand and say, "I want to go to hell." But you say, "Preacher, I want to go to heaven I want to know that before I die, before I breathe my last breath, before I'm struck with some dreaded disease, before I lose my life on a road somewhere, I want to know that I can go to heaven when I die. If there's a way I can know it, I'd like to know it. I'm not asking you to join this church, put money in the plate, be baptized, any of those things. No, sir, that's not it. If I never see you again on this side of eternity, if I could just introduce you to the Savior, that's all that I'm asking. How many raise a hand and say, "Preacher, I'd like to know I could go to heaven when I die." I didn't raise it a minute ago, but can I know that? Raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to come tell you. Thank you, thank you. I see your hands. Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, I'd like to know that if I could. If there's a way I can know that, I'd like to know it." Anyone else? Now let me ask you a third question. Those of you that know Christ as your Savior, are you walking with Him? Is your life pleasing to Him? The same Holy Ghost of God that saved you is right now, if He's convicting you, you need to get your life straight with God. You need to get your life right with the Lord. Not for me, but because of what He did for you. Would you stand to your feet, please? Head bowed, eyes are closed. In just a minute, we're going to extend an invitation. If God has spoke to your heart today, I invite you to come. We'll have a lady to talk with you, ladies. Men, we'll have a man to talk with you, sir. Regardless of your need, there is help. It's not found in a creed. It's not found in some type of ritual. It's found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to pray in just a minute. When I finish praying, if God has spoke to your heart, I want you to slip out of your seat and you want you to come. But also, I want those of you whose life is right with God, I want you to come and pray for those that need to come. Would you? In just a minute, as I pray, Heavenly Father, and in the name above every name, first of all, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd plant a hedge of thorns round about this church house. Lord, I can feel that the devil would love to steal the seed right now. He is an arch enemy. He is a deceiver. He is a destroyer of the brethren. I pray right now, rebuke him in Jesus' name. Devil, I pray, I command thee to flee from the presence of this place and leave these people alone. Lord Jesus, I pray that you set the captive free today. That one held in sin's bondage, that one today that's been blinded, I pray, God, set them free. Lord, I pray for those raised a hand that need Christ. I pray, oh God, this may be the last chance, last opportunity they'll ever hear an old-fashioned gospel message. I pray they come. Lord Jesus, do the work that I cannot do. Holy Ghost of God, have your freedom and your right of way in Jesus' name.